John the Apostle, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8. Verse number 12. All right. John, chapter number 8. And verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. The Lord said, Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Lord, bless your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John, chapter number 8, is probably one of the most profound confrontations of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ with religion. And you need to understand what we're talking about here now. When we speak of Jews, someone said, well, you're anti-Semitic, so forth and so on, if you say anything about Jews. I've been here a long time. All you got to do is go back and listen to the tapes. You'll find out that I've always supported the Jew and so forth. What I'm trying to do is teach you the Bible. And 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here dealing with the Jews, he was not dealing with the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He was speaking to people who were under the Jews' religion. And the Apostle Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. He meant by that I was raised in the Jews' religion, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, knew what I had to be taught, and I profited in it. He was well read in the Jews' religion. So what is the Jews' religion? The Jews' religion is the religion that came out of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Once Israel was driven from their land, what happened in Babylon was they began to accommodate Babylonian religion and mix it with the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. From that came what we know today as the Babylonian Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud is the vehicle that is used by every Jew on this earth who rejects the identity and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not reject Christ based on the Bible. You can lead anyone to the Lord in the Old Testament scriptures. The Word of God, my dear friend, is as clear as it can be. But what happens is that you're dealing with the Babylonian Talmud. You may never heard of a man whose name is Alfred Edersheim. Alfred Edersheim lived in the 1800s. He was a converted Jew, very, very smart man, the kind of man who put a lot of work and research into the material. He wrote one book, he wrote more than one, but one's entitled The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And he shows you without question inside that volume how that the religion of Israel today is the religion of Babylon, that what they believe about demons is so far removed from the Bible. It is an understanding into ignorance, and it's a superstition, and all that goes with it. And this is, of course, you use that as a case example of what's happened to them. So, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah by Alfred Edersheim. If you'd like to get a book and spend some time in it, I don't recommend too many books here, but that's one that I highly recommend because it's worth your time to read what this man has to say, because it sets the stage of 2,000 years ago as to why they rejected our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 8, there is a hatred toward the Lord Jesus Christ coming from the Jews' religion. And so there's a confrontation that takes place. Inevitably, it will. The Jews, if you have ever heard of a Kairite Jew, how many's ever heard of that? Kairite Jews, these are Jews who reject what's called rabbinic Judaism. And that's the Judaism that is prevalent among most of them today, the teaching of the rabbis. They don't have a temple, they don't have a priesthood, they don't have a sacrifice, so therefore they go back to what they have, and that is the teaching of the rabbis. And they're waiting, they want a temple, they want a priesthood. And Gershom Solomon, who was the head of the temple, Mount Faithful, has been for a long time trying to do exactly that thing, is to build a temple in Jerusalem. Many of the Jews believe that by building that temple, they'll bring back the Messiah. And so they're set about to do it. There is the group of Jews who believe that when the Messiah comes, he will build the temple, according to the book of Zechariah. So you can look at it both ways. There's a number of ways to approach this thing. But the Kairite Jew rejects the teaching of Rabbinic Judaism. So what happens? Well, then what we have are three basic divisions of the Old Testament. The Torah, which is the law, the book of Moses, first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Navim, which is the prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. And then the Ketuvim, which is the writings. Daniel belongs in the writings in the book of Psalms, Proverbs, and books like that. The Kairite rejects it and goes all the way back to the very beginning, to the Torah, to the first five books of the Bible. So does the Samaritan in his Pentateuch. He does the same thing. So it's good to have a little foundation and stuff like that today when you're talking about Jews. When someone says to you, well, what do the Jews believe? Say back to them, which one? That's exactly right. It's like somebody says, well, what do the Baptists believe? Which one? So what do the Catholics believe? Which one? It gets off into this, so you need to define what you're talking about. But what's important in John chapter number 8 is the confrontation that takes place. He said in verse number 12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me say this for you this morning. Any deviation from Christ is into darkness. Say it again. Any deviation from Christ leads into darkness. There is nothing but darkness and ignorance outside of Christ. John chapter number 8 and verse number 23. He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Making it very clear that the world that you live in now, physically and spiritually, is foreign to where he came from. So who he is, he tells them, I am the light of the world. Who are they? Well, in John chapter number 8 and verse number 37, here's what he said. I know ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Then in John 8:39, he says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now on one hand, verse 37, he said, you're the seed of Abraham. On the other hand, in verse 39, he said, if you were Abraham's children. So what's going on here? They were physically the seed of Abraham, but not spiritually. Abraham was not their father in faith. Not in any way. They were walking in darkness and blindness and ignorance. So in verse number 34, John 8:54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him. He makes it plain, you're ignorant. Now they may be dedicated to the religion, and it's easy to find people dedicated to the religion. But my dear friend, there's going to be more than that to walk in darkness and to walk in ignorance. And that's the culture that you live in, and that's religion of this world. But he says to them in John 8:44, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, I don't know anything that would be any plainer than that. When he told them that they were of their father, the devil. In other words, the spirit is of the devil. Your faith is of the devil. Who you are is of the devil. Your motivation is of the devil. You're demon possessed. And you're going to take an innocent man and one day you're going to nail him to a cross. And you're going to lie through your teeth to do that. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So he tells them in John chapter number 8 and verse number 31 what a true disciple is. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So what is a disciple? I'm a disciple. Praise God. You're a disciple if you're a believer in Christ. You're a follower, a learner. You're one who follows his teachings. That's what a disciple is. Now there's a vast difference between an apostle and a disciple. You must be a disciple to be an apostle. No question about that. But an apostle is one of the special calling. The word apostello in Greek simply means a sent one. He has authority, he has credentials, he has been sent with a mission, he's on a mission, and he has the authority and power to execute it. An apostle, my dear friend, is quite a thing.
I've never met one. I've heard some who say they are, but I don't worry a whole lot about it. I think the last apostle passed on a couple of thousand years ago. I wouldn't worry a whole lot about those who call themselves apostles. But a disciple is one who continues in his word. Now, this is what is important. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of it will take you apart. Well, I don't want anything that's going to take me apart. It'll take you apart. And it'll show you what you're really made out of. Don't you want to know what you're really made out of? Don't you want to know who you really are? Well, you'll find that out if you'll continue on and continue as his disciple. He's a good God. He loves us. He wants to raise you up from babyhood and give you some morality and some maturity and bring you up into a higher level. How do you get that higher level? You can't get to that higher level. He raises you to that higher level. In every step that you learn more about yourself and yield into the power and authority of God, he'll raise you up to a little higher level. In that higher level, he'll reveal more about himself, and he'll reveal more about you. And your calling will continue to increase. He'll prepare you for a ministry that's somewhere waiting for you. But he doesn't put babies in that ministry. You know, there must be some maturity. There must be some raising up. There must be some preparation that takes place. But you're never going to get it running from God. There are those who run. And that's all they know to do is run. Running will get you nowhere. There's nowhere to run to. Why don't you come back to do what the Apostle Peter said, Lord, when he said, will you also go away? He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now there's one thing about Peter. He may have had his faults, and he did like all the rest of us. But I'll tell you one thing. He knew how to speak spontaneously. No preparation. He just poured it out. He said to them, what do you mean? Where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go. Now, let me say that to you this morning. Where are you going to go? Have they got something out there better? No. Let me tell you what's out there. Death, warmed over death, recreated death, death that's been dressed up, death that's been buried, death that stinks, death, 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 death. And those that love death run from God. Have you ever been around a dead thing that stinks? It has a way. Let me tell you something they said about dead bodies. And it works pretty good. You can't hide one long. Why? Because they'll let you know where they are. They'll let you know. Amen. And that's religion without Christ. It is dead. You put your heart into it. You give it everything you got. And you come away from it and you're just as empty as you were when it started. It does nothing to change your life, bless you, and draw you closer to God. So, a true disciple is one that continues in his word. It may get hard. You may feel like God's abandoned you. You may feel like he doesn't answer your prayers anymore. You may feel like that he's given you over to Satan to sift you. You may feel like that God's promises in the Bible are for somebody and somewhere else, not you. You may search your soul and search your heart and go deep within your very essence and being. And talk to God in a way that you've never talked to him before. And then after you've done all that, you look deep down inside your heart and say, am I really a believer? Do I believe? Yes, glory to God, I believe. If I dropped dead in this pulpit this morning before you, that'd be the greatest thing that could happen to me if I know where I'm going. And I know where I'm going. Now, are you that kind of a disciple? Or are you the kind of disciple that if it works out okay, if you're on the mountain, glory to God, you've been listening to these motivational speakers and all that, you've got a pile of their books. Have you ever noticed these books? They could put a bunch of them out like that and there's not a dime's worth of difference from this one and this one. Put them all together and you still got nothing. Just a bunch of fluffy. Now, I like the fluff. I like banana pudding, amen, and the fluff on top of it and all that. I'm just good as the next fella. But what's that going to do for you? It's nothing. You are a disciple. Until I'll die with a sword in my hand, and that's what I want to do. Give me that sword. Let me stand on the battlefield and let me go like that. Are you that kind of disciple? There's no quitting, folks. There's no exit ramp. I'm in it to the end. If you've got that attitude this morning, God will do something with you. He'll do something with you. I'm in it to the end. Hallelujah to God. When the smoke clears and all the yelling and the screaming's over, who's going to be standing by your side? I'm in it to the end. Now, I want you to notice something in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 15, and that is the deceitfulness of religion. Religion is a very deceitful thing. The Lord said in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So how do you know a wolf? Because a wolf may look like a lamb, talk like a lamb, act like a lamb, quote scripture. The devil quoted Psalm 91, folks. He quoted the Bible. I've heard people who feel like if they've quoted the scripture, they've supported their cause completely. There's more to it than that. There's the discernment in comparing scripture with scripture. There's a whole lot more than just quoting one verse of scripture and you think that's going to support who you are and what you're teaching. There's more to it than that. Search the scriptures, he said. So, what have we got here? Ravening wolves. Are you a wolf? Do you care about the love of Christ? Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to glorify the Son? Or are you looking for an opportunity to tear somebody down? Stab them in the back. Cut their throat. Well, preachers, stuff like that goes on in the church house. Well, there's more killing going on in the church house than there's out here a lot of time. Amen. If you could drag the dead bodies out the back door, you'd be amazed at how many people die in the church house. You realize how many people are out there right now that won't darken a church door right now, Sunday morning, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. They will not step inside a church house for the rest of their lives because they got stabbed, they got cut, something happened to their family. Lord knows, a lot of things can happen, and they'll never go back to church again. And that's sad. That's sad. That's sad. I mean, I don't rejoice in that. Lord of mercy. No, I hate that. I hate to see it, but it can happen to you. But don't let it happen to you. Remember, you may be a little uncomfortable when I tell you this, but that man or that woman sitting next to you is just as big a sinner as you are. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 20. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Verse number 22, Matthew chapter 7. You need to read this one because you need to see it with your own eyes. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My goodness. This must come according to the scriptures. I read it. It has to be a complete shock to hear him say that, because that's not what they expected. They'll say to me, Lord, have we not prophesied? I preached, I ministered in your name. He says, I never knew you. Do you know him? You remember when Samuel lay there? Samuel was raised there at the tabernacle, Shiloh. He was raised up next to God. He said, well, the only case like that in the whole Bible. But the Bible says he did not know the Lord. Even though he was raised right there next to the Holy of Holies and all of that, he did not yet know the Lord. But the day came he did. The day came that he would know him. He would know him. I went for 27 years and didn't know him. Didn't know him, folks. Didn't know him. Didn't know him. Didn't know him. Didn't know him. Knew about him. Heard a lot of preaching about him, but I didn't know him. Do you know him? You're sitting here this morning, you say, you see this old preacher up here now. You see me. Some of you have known me a long time. Some of you, this may be the first time you've looked at this face. Did it shock you when you saw it? Somebody's. I remember we had a missionary come through here 50 years ago, Brother Cimino. And Dick Cimino, I think his name was. And he said this to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, this is the only face I've got, son. If I had another one, I'd wear it. That's got to be pretty good. Amen. Say, you know me. And some of you I've known a long time. I know you. It's not that I've heard about you. See, there's a people I've heard about. I've heard about them. But I know you.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
See, it's not that I've heard about you. I know you. And God bless your soul. I know too much about some of you. Amen. Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know him? See, do you know him? That's what this is all about. It's not about a crucifix. It's not about a catechism. It's not about a church, stained glass windows, organs and pianos and all that. These things all have their place. I'm not up here running this stuff down, but I'm telling you something. You can light all the candles and you can hear all the music and you can walk through religious places and you can do this and you can do that. I had my aunt tell me one time, long time ago, and she said, we went into this church, and she said, I was with my husband, and she said, we went to all the stations of the cross, and we lit candles all the way around at all the stations of the cross. Now, a lot of you know what the stations of the cross are. Some of you don't. That gets into Catholicism and all of this and that, and but the point is, they went in and they did something religious, okay? That's religious. They lit candles. They did something religious. But, my dear friend, that's not going to do anything for your soul. The only one that can do anything for your soul is a person. And if you don't get a hold of that person I'm talking about today, all the rest of this is just fluff. Fluff. Peripheral. Superfluous. It's fluff. You've got to know the person. Christ Jesus. I never knew you, he said. In John 8:44, once again, you're your father the devil. John 13:22, he said, false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall so show signs and wonders and to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Take heed, behold, I foretold you all these things. False Christ and false prophets. I think we're there, don't you? I think we're there. I think we're there. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now you're getting into the motive of God. You're getting into God's thinking, the way his mind works, the way he relates to us. And here's what he says. They believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And because of that, God will send them strong delusion. How many of you believe that you live in a day where you could be deluded? I mean, you believe there's a lot of deception out there? Yes. Yes. They've coined a phrase. I never heard it when I was a kid, but it's called synergy. Seems like it'd be a new phrase. What is that? That's when you've got different elements working together to create one power of energy. Synergy. See? Synopsis. One view. To bring it all together into one view. This is why you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke called synoptic gospels. It's supposed to be one view, and they always kick John out and say he's not part of the synopsis. One view. That's what they're trying to do to the minds of the world. One view. They're trying to control your thinking. One view. They're real good at it. One view. They've got that TV set. Back when I was a kid, they called it a one-eyed monster. Back when I was When I was a kid, the preachers used to get up and say, I can tell you right now, the devil's crowd, hear me now. Back then they had, what do they call them outside? Antenna. He says, you can see his horns on top of the houses everywhere. The antenna. I remember when I was in the military, I had a 30-foot pole or a 20-foot pole outside the house. And I used to go out there, and Linda'd be inside at the TV, and I'd go out there and I'd turn the pole. And I'd say, is the picture any better? Is it doing any better? How many of you remember a time like that? Yeah, they call it a Yagi antenna. It means that it's powerful. It picks up a signal one direction and one direction only. So if you tuned in, you're doing good. And then it would get snowy and it gets shaky. And then the first thing you know, a tube would go out and it'd start rolling like this. I go all the way back. I was watching the Long Ranger the other day. He went in 1948, he started. I showed up in 46, so I'd have been 2 years old when he started. He went, I think, 7 or 8 years. And by the time I was up into my almost 10 years of age, I remember the last year was in color. And I remember Tonto and the Long Ranger. And I remember all of that just like it was yesterday. And the TV didn't come on until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. How many remember that? No TV during the day. Only two stations back then. How did we get off on TV? Oh, I remember now. That big screen. Oh, yeah. Now you got 1,000 channels. Oh, yeah. They all lead the same place, too. Yes, they do. Oh, yeah. 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 He said, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, watch this. Because they believe not the truth. Now, it's not the truth about the truth. The truth about the truth is a good thing. But what we're talking about here is the truth as a person. You see, the truth about the truth, okay, that's all fine, but I want the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exclusive. That excludes all religions. That says no. Says no, you're no good. There's only one name, the apostle said, given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is that if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and you know him, then you have accepted the truth. And if you refuse to believe that, that one guy on one of the TV stations here a few years back, pastor of one of the big mega churches in the country, the narrator says to him, well, what do you believe about going to heaven? Who do you believe can go to heaven? Well, he said, well, I'll tell you what, if as long as you're sincere in your heart, everything's okay. It really doesn't make that much difference what religion you're in, just as long as you mean well. And of course, the answer satisfied the fellow on TV because he didn't know the Lord. But that won't work, folks. No, no, no. There's only one name. Do you really believe that? Because there's a delusion coming. There's a delusion coming for people who reject that. See, here's the thing. Here's the catch 22. You're sitting in a congregation of people this morning and the light's been turned on. You're in a place today where you've heard the name of Jesus. And if you accept or reject, that, my dear friend, determines what God's going to do with you. That's right. If you reject the light and you say no to the name of Christ, then you have turned off the truth. And because of that, God's going to send a strong delusion. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. These tough sayings, you know what, that's hard talk. This is not, you know, feel good stuff. He said there are people out there that are dogs and swine. And he said, give not that which is holy to the dogs, cast not your pearls before swine. Now you can get off on this thing here and you can run the gamut. I mean, you can dig deep into what all he's talking, who he's talking to and what this is all about. But if I were you or myself in here this morning, I'd say, your word is a lamp unto my feet, light to my path. Amen. 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 He said, you don't hear God's words because you're not of God. You reject them. But I believe them. I believe them. I believe this book. Master it? No. Nobody's ever mastered it. I don't care how deluded they are. You're not going to master something that's alive. What do you mean by that? I mean by that that this book is alive, giving forth life that is relevant to 2026. July the 5th, 2026. This generation, you need to hear something. This book is alive to your generation. It speaks to you in a way that nothing else can. It's a living word of God. So, I hope that you're not one who just kicks it aside, throws it off, and you're smelling for something to eat. You know, like the bowl of pottage sold his birthright for immediate gratification instead of holding on to the promise of God. He said in John 8:56, before Abraham was, I am. In Greek, that is ego eimi. That's an emphatic emphatic I am that I am that I am. We get our English word ego from ego, directly transliterated from Greek into English. Ego, I am that I am. There is none beside me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. I am everything there is, everything there will be. Of me, through me, and to me are all things. The Lord Jesus was saying to him, this is it. It finishes with me. It goes no higher. I am the Supreme Court of the Supreme Court. I am the Judge of the Judges. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I am that I am. Do you accept that today? Do you accept the fact the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely everything there is? Look for no higher authority on this earth, folks, in men. I don't care how much they strut around and claim to be intercessor or intermediary or someone between you and God. Get rid of it. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You have direct access to the Father through the Son. And I do thank God for that. Now in John 14, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now let me say this, no man knows the Father but the Son, no man knows the Son but the Father. No man. But it's all over, folks. When it's all finished, it's all said, it's all done, all the judgments are passed, and all that's left is that almighty being and his Son. The Lord Jesus will take us to the Father. What are you going to see, preacher? I have no clue. But I know I'll see Almighty God. Now, John said it this way in a step before that. He said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doth not yet appear. But we know this, he said. When he comes, when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You get that from Revelation 1, right? So we will be like the Son. That's the step closer to the Father. But one day, you're going to see the Father. Boy, that's going to be something. That's going to be something. Now I want to give you this, and I'm going to come to a close this morning, and that's the delusion. A man that's deluded doesn't know it. If you're deceived, you don't know it. If you know it, you're not deceived. Willful ignorance is one thing. Deception is another. Quite another matter. A lot of people are willfully ignorant. That's right. They turn their ears away. That's why the Bible said, he that hath ears, let him hear that only hear. They're willfully ignorant. All right. A deceived person, somebody who believes they have the truth, they'll hang you. They'll burn you at a stake. And the Apostle Paul talked about what he was doing. He said, I thought. He said, it came to my mind that I should do thus and so to these people that are in the way. He said that in the book of Acts, his own personal testimony. It didn't come from God. But the bottom line was, Saul of Tarsus was deceived. He thought he was in the right until he came to the light. Now let me give you some things that will deceive you. And these are powerful, powerful things. Did you know that over half, and I read this a couple of days ago, you know, we had just had the 250th birthday of the United States of America. And it was a great celebration yesterday. You know, rightfully so. I was around at the 200th birthday. I remember it. I know I've been here forever. And now we've had the 250th birthday. All the big sail, tall ships went into the bay in New York and all that. A lot of good stuff going on, okay? 250 years. Did you know that over half the people in this country couldn't tell you what that was really about? Now, can you believe that? Can you believe that we've got people in America that has no idea what the 250th birthday of what? What happened in 17? When was it, 71? I'm just checking on you, you know. 1776, right? Must not be teaching school anymore, right? So what are these kids learning? Isn't that sad? You know why they do this? Because the more ignorant a person is, the more identity, self-image they've lost. So what do? They replace it. So by doing that, they begin to control their mind and create the image they want. Any of you been in the military? I was called everything but a human being, but the first few weeks I went in boot camp. So why'd they do that? They tore me down. Then they began to build me back up. And they gave me my image. They gave me my self-image. Who am I? I am who they created. That's the way they control you. That's what happens. What they've done is make the populace ignorant. Ignorance tears you down. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance tears you down. And then what happens? They build you back up. And this is a form of deception. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. Artificial intelligence. I never heard anything about artificial intelligence when I was a kid. But let me tell you something. It is just now beginning to make itself known. With DNA, think about that for a moment. The synergy we're talking about. Imagine the two of them working together. Imagine applying artificial intelligence in its matured form to DNA, the actual code of life. Imagine this now, through quantum computers, computing power that was unknown just a few years ago. Tell me that there's not room for deception there. We're looking at something that's going to spin way out of control quickly. Now, what's happening? UFOs? Time and time and time and time again, the government said, no, there's nothing to this. They talked about that thing in 1947 out there in Arizona. I forget where it was. They called it a weather balloon. This thing was supposed to have crashed. Over and over and over and over again, they put the spin on it, and it was nothing but a pack of lies. So what's going on? What's the UFO? What's the purpose of this? Now, I'm not a UFO nut. I don't spend a lot of time with it. The reason I don't is because I firmly believe it's demonic. It's real, yes, but not real the way a lot of people think. But in any event, they're using this and they're bringing this out. Why? Why now? Why with artificial intelligence? Why with DNA? And now the religion of America. This ecumenical, universalist religion that's being preached in the pulpits in the country today. Why is all of this coming together at this time? Why is it? I read a thing yesterday and I thought, now how in the world could this be? Many colleges are getting these kids from high school and they're saying that they're at about a 10-year-old level. I thought to myself, well, did they graduate? You mean you matriculate a child, 17, 18 years old, that's at a 10th grade level? What's going on? And then what happens at the college? All this remedial work they have to do to prepare them? What's happening? Well, it goes right back to what I was talking about a few minutes ago. Half the country doesn't know what July the 4th, 1776, King George, Great Britain, all that. What's going on? It is already happening, and I can see it. Can you see it? Each one of these things that I just mentioned to you, they deserve far more time than what I just gave you. Far more. I just put them all together to give you an idea. Look at all this stuff, and there's more besides this. What in the world is happening? Folks, the Lord is coming back. Are we ready? Are you ready? Here's the thing that you need to be concerned about the coming of the Lord. Watch this. Who's the truth? Who's the truth? I didn't say, what's the truth? What's the truth? It's a good thing, but who is the truth? The truth is a person. All these things in the Bible become personified in Christ. Christ is the end of the law. The truth. The way. No man comes to the Father but by him. Do I know the truth, preacher? I don't know. Do you know him? I'm not asking you if you consent to the truth about Christ. I'm asking you if you have the truth of God in the person of Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? That's the difference. Would you bow your head? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd take what little I've said this morning be to help somebody, help some soul. Lord, I'm up here to help them. Why would I get up here any other reason? I'm up here to help folks, Lord. I want to help them. And I pray for them. I pray in Jesus' name. If they don't know you, then I pray they open their heart and that they'd accept you this morning as their Savior. The only one that can save, the only Savior there is our Lord Jesus Christ. In your holy, righteous name I pray. Amen. All right.